So that warm room you're in this evening, isn't it? It might have been a bit cold this morning, but I certainly got the heat on tonight. Amen. Are you trusting Jesus all alone? Saviour, make no delay, hearing his word, he has shown us the way.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one this evening. We do give you a warm welcome in our service tonight in the name of the Lord. Wednesday night I had trouble preaching because me and Matthew like the coffee at work. I tried drinking it when it was red hot. It's not a good idea. And I done something on my throat, burned it. But the Lord's good, isn't it? So I've recovered, praise God. The Lord bless you, and I really appreciated what a brother Gary said this morning. So many disappointments in life, but thank God, Jesus is not the disappointment. Amen. Yes. He takes the disappointed. Amen. He takes the disappointed. And he can turn it all around for his glory. Yes. Praise God. I just remind as well, everybody, this wee book, this is the diary, the pastor's diary. And anyone wants a wee visit on a Thursday night, put your name down in the book. And I'm not coming to preach at anybody. Don't think that I'm coming to your house or anybody's house to read you a sermon, because that's not the point of it. Just to come and see you and have a chat with you. And we could talk about anything. You know, just whatever the Lord leads. But just if you want fellowship or if you do want prayer or anything, I want to make myself available for that. Praise God. And we just thank the Lord tonight. Well, I want to continue on from Leviticus, the book of Leviticus. And if we could turn to Leviticus chapter 2. And there's so much what can be said from the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 2. I won't read all of the verses, but if you turn to Leviticus chapter 2, and I'll just read a few verses from verse 9, I'll read to verse 12, but you can read all of the chapter 2 while I'm preaching the night and sharing the word of God with you. And this is about the meat offering and how it typifies Christ and his life and the personal character of Christ. We want to look at tonight. Last week, we looked at the devotedness of Christ, and it took a couple of services. And the whole thing's about the Lord. There's no point you wanting to look at me, or as we heard this morning, any other man, because that would fail. Every one of us would fail. But there is a man that never failed. Never failed. Now, I know a great famous American preacher said that the biggest failure was Jesus. But see, as soon as I heard him saying that, well, you can write under his name, false prophet. That's what he was. And he has proven since he is a false prophet. But see, and I won't mention his name, and I don't want to get off the track tonight, but Jesus fulfilled every letter of the law to perfection when he done the Father's will. Let's read this, and you can remain seated tonight. Let's read this from verse 9 here tonight of Leviticus chapter 2. And the priest shall take from the meat offering a memorial thereof, and shall burn it upon the fire. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. And that which is left of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons, and it is a thing of a most holy, the offering of the Lord made by fire. No meat offering which ye shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven, for ye shall burn no leaven or any honey in any offerings of the Lord made by fire. As for the oblation of the first fruits, ye shall offer them unto the Lord, but they shall not be burnt on the altar for a sweet savour. And every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou season with salt, neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to lacken from thy meat offering with all thine offerings, for thou shalt offer salt. Now there's a whole lot said about salt today, and your doctor will tell you you're taking too much salt. I'm sure tell me the same thing. But there's salt, there's certain salt. How many's ever read about salt when you buy salt? Nobody. Well, the next time you're in buying salt, read a wee bit. And there's some salt with iodine in it. And it's good for you. That's been proven. Iodine's good for you. But not to get off the subject, but you can't do without salt. And if you have an athlete and he starts cramping up, and he's cramping, you need to give him salt. And there's a famous woman, I'm saying famous, she's a Christian woman, she's in Australia, and she goes on and does all these talks about women and all these things. And she says, one of the best things you can do is put a wee sprinkle or two of real salt in your hand, lick it, and then drink a glass of water. The opposite to what the medical tells you. But she's proved it to be right. We need salt. Let's come and bow our heads tonight, praise God. And I won't get out of subject. If you have a need tonight, lift your hand up before the Lord this evening. God bless you. God bless you. And Sister Lauren's uncle is not too good. We want to pray for him. I can't remember the man's name, but the Lord will know it. Ken, praise God. And we want to pray the Lord will touch him and save him. And everything, praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your lovely name, for your name. It's far above every other name. Your name is as a sweet savor. And we worship your name and praise your name tonight. The name that's above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you are everything to us. Without you, we can do nothing. But with you, anything's possible. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Lord, we're looking to you tonight. We're praying for the precious blood of Jesus to cover us and sanctify this hall this evening and banish every devil and every devil's spirit from it and from everyone in it in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for the Holy Spirit to come. I do take the Holy Ghost now to help me. And Lord, I need your help, but I thank you for it. I ask you for the hands raised, you'll meet every need. Answer the prayer. Speedy recovery for those waiting on good news. May they get it in Jesus' precious name. We ask for this man, Ken, or Sister Lauren's uncle. Father, you know him. You know everything about him. We pray for your mercy for him. We ask you'll speak to him and you'll save him and deliver him and raise him up in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray from these words in Leviticus tonight. We'll see you. Come off these pages. Bless your people. Touch your people. And do us good this evening. We pray as well for Brother Brian Freeborn over in America. Preaching, Lord. And Father, we just pray you'll give him strength and grace. And for Yvonne Carrion, needs your mighty touch upon him. And your grace in Jesus' precious name. For any that couldn't be here tonight, bless them. Those laid aside sick, bless them. And Father, have your way. And I pray, Lord, this evening, for everybody over this land that does preach the truth, you'll bless them tonight. And add to your kingdom such as should be saved. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you this evening. Praise God. There was no blood here, and you read about it in this offering in chapter 2. There's no mention of blood been shed when this offering's been made, signifying that the thoughts of the suffering is not connected with it in the sense when you speak about the blood. And we have here in the type the character of the real moral worth of Jesus Christ. And we saw this morning where brother brought out of a different man, and there were good men and there were anointed men and there were chosen and proven, but they all failed. But you see, the very character and the very person of the Lord Jesus Christ never failed, not even once. Because, you see, he was a wee bit more than a man. That's the thing about it, and we'll see that tonight. He was the very Son of God. And when you look at these offerings, you know, what? Here, if you go back to the start and read it, and I missed a lot of it for the sake of time, but it speaks of flour, and it speaks of fine flour. And there's flour and there's flying flour. And flour is a product of the earth. And it refers to the kingship of Christ, the man. And it was fine flour. You see, he was God in flesh. He was a man. Every bit of man. But yet he was God and a man. And the flour speaks of someone that come from the earth. And you know, you go into the tabernacle and all the things in it. The white speaks of someone that was made from the ground as well. And it speaks of his humanity as well. But when you're dealing with the humanity, don't forget about the God part. that's in that human. That's the difference in Jesus and every other man. There's no other man can say, if you've seen me, you've seen God. What other man could say, I've only ever done what the Father shows me? None of us. We haven't. Many times God talks to us and we do the opposite. I've had people tell me God's telling them things and they don't do it. They've even told me that. That's a bad thing. When you know that God's really spoke to you to do something, you should do it. It's not right. Though he was truly human and, you know, entirely free from carnality, what we had, and the mindedness that we would have, yet he was in a body, in a physical body, was tempted and tried at all points as we are. There was no defect in him, no coarseness, passion or feeling. He was perfectly, and he was sincere. The Lord was sincere. The pure, perfect manhood of the blessed Lord Jesus. You know, it's a theme that needs our attention. People preach a lot of things about the Lord, but they never preach of his life in the sense of looking at his very life. And when you look at the Lord's life, it needs attention. And every Christian should pay attention to the life of the Lord Jesus. There's so many men we would like to be like, and we can appreciate them. Wonderful men of God. And we know that. But there's no one like the Lord. Hebrews 7 verse 26 says, for such an high priest become us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens. You could take this verse and break it and preach 3 or 4 sermons from this one scripture here tonight. Higher than the heavens. There's not a one of us could say we're higher than the heavens. We're lower than them, but we couldn't say we're higher than them. Jacob said that he's only a worm before God. But the Lord's higher than the heavens, and he's undefiled, separate from sinners. There's a difference. So I have a problem, and you should have one as well, when somebody makes a man the exact same as Jesus and says he's identical in every way. You should have a problem with that, for I have, for it's not scriptural. But there's a lot that's been preached today. And then you see that goes so far it runs on a limb. To where they worship a man, and they're worshiping the wrong man. And they give the glory to the man, and they give the glory to the wrong man. And the Lord says, I will not give my glory to another. He wants all of it. And he's deserving of it. For he's the only one that paid for our salvation on the cross. Look at verse 4 of Leviticus tonight. And if thou bring an oblation of the meat offering, bacon in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour mingled with oil, or unleavened wafers anointed with oil. Oil is an emblem, we know, of the Holy Spirit. And as the flour was mingled with oil, so the presence and power of the Holy Spirit was right through the Lord. It was in the Lord. It was upon the Lord. Not only was it in him, but it come upon him. And I can prove that. It was in him because the Holy Spirit overshadowed the Virgin Mary, and he was born or came forth from the Holy Ghost. Then on the day of Jordan, the Bible says when he came out of the water, the Spirit came down on him. So it was in him, and it come down on him. And we Pentecostals need to be careful of something here tonight. To make out that nobody is any of the Spirit, if they don't get the baptism, if they're not, they can be saved, not have it. That's not true. Any person that's born again, the Holy Spirit moved you to get saved, or you're not even saved. So the Spirit's already moved you. You've already had an experience with the Spirit. But there is a baptism of the same Spirit. There's a filling with the same Spirit. And there's having the Spirit in you, and there's having the Spirit on you. And Jesus had the Spirit within, and Jesus had the Spirit on him. And the Bible talks about it being a well within us, and then it talks about coming over us. And I tell you, if the Lord needed it, we need it. You see, the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit went right through the Savior. The process of mingling the human and the divine, it's a great mystery. We know that. No man can fully explain it. And when he does, he's missed it. But there's a lot of people that know everything. We know that. There's people like that. Isn't that right? But only the Lord knows everything. If I was to say to you tonight, who's all elected in Bonbridge Town that's going to go to heaven, not one man or woman in here could answer me who they are, for none of us know. But the Lord knows. And we better leave that to Him. That's why we can't preach in a limited atonement. Saying that God couldn't do it, He can do it. 1 Timothy 3:16 says this, and without controversy great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justifying the Spirit, seen of angels, preached on till the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. I tell you, no man took the life from Jesus. Mel Gibson's movie, it parts of it's good, but it portrays really that the Jews killed him. And if you watch it, you'll have a hatred for the Jews. That's what it was made for. I'll just be straight with you. And Rome was behind it. I'll be straight with you again. And if you don't believe that, there's nothing I can do about it, but that's a fact. And if you research the same man up that I've mentioned, you'll see him visiting the Pope of Rome. But I've no interest in visiting the Pope. But I'll tell you, Jesus said, I have power to lay my life down, and I have power to take it up again. Jesus says, no man taketh it from me, but I freely give it. Jesus Christ was a willing sacrifice. There's a difference. When Cain slew Abel, Abel wasn't willing. Abel was forcibly murdered, but Christ was willing. And when Abel's blood was shed and on the ground, and it cried out to God for vengeance and justice, and Christ's blood was shed on the cross from the thorns, just like Abel's cried from the thorns, Christ's blood cried from the thorns in his brow, and it cried out for mercy. Lord, forgive them. They don't know what to do. That's why Jesus came, to save no one but sinners. Amen. 700 years before Jesus Christ was born, Isaiah the prophesied of it, moved by the Holy Spirit, Isaiah 9 verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Now show me another man that you can say he is the Mighty God. You cannot do it. You could say he's a son of God, or he's in the image of God, or he's of the God kind. You could make all different phrases, but none of them was God. But the Bible says here, the Mighty God. Hallelujah. The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's what the Lord was prophesied through Isaiah was years and years before he was even born of the Virgin Mary, because he pre-existed. He pre-existed ever before he came here as a man. When the Lord Jesus was here on earth, he said, before Abraham was, I am. In John 8, verse 58, Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. That's the angel of the covenant that met with Moses up on the mountain. That's the great Melchizedek that met with Abraham and blessed him and said, I'm going to visit you, Abraham, according to the time of life. And remember, it ceased to be with Abraham and Sarah after the manner of husband and wife. But God done it anyhow, because he's supernatural. Look at verse 1 of our reading tonight, Leviticus. And when any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be a fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it and put frankincense thereon it. Pouring the oil upon it. Oil in it, oil upon it suggests the twofold truth, the indwelling and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now you could come in here tonight and you could say, I don't feel the Spirit tonight. But then you could come in and you could say, and we do say it, and there's nothing wrong with saying it. Did you feel His presence this evening? You felt it on your flesh, didn't you? You felt it. But yet with all the Holy Spirit was already in you. But yet you felt it coming on you. There's a twofold here, speaking from these scriptures. The Holy Spirit is in us, guiding us, teaching us. And he says he'll guide and teach all things. The anointing you received will teach you all things. You need no man to teach you. And then there's the Holy Spirit comes on you. The Holy Spirit comes on you to give you power for service. Yes, amen. And when the disciples received the Holy Spirit, the Bible says they received power. Power come on them. That's why they could cast out devils and speak with tongues and do all them wonders. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. And sadly, much of the church world today doesn't want that Spirit on them like that. But thank God it's still available. Acts 2:39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and all that's afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Promise of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was in Christ from his birth. It was on him after the baptism of Jordan. And so he's in us from our new birth. The Holy Spirit moves you to get saved. The Spirit moves you in your heart. Is that right? And you call on the Lord and you can see him. But there's a time come when you can be filled with the Spirit. Baptized with the Spirit. And if you baptize somebody, they're not baptized if they're not totally submerged. Baptizing means to be covered. That's what it means, to be covered. And if you put somebody in the water and they're sitting up half the minute and half them up out of it, that's not a baptism. They're not covered. You have to cover them. And they must go right under the water. They're dying to Christ. They must come out of it. Because there's a sign they're resurrected and they're a new creature. And you can't baptize them in the name of a church or denomination or a title. But you must give them the prescription from Acts 2:38, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And there's power in that name. Amen. Something with a name. Because he says they shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Right there in Acts 2:38. And you know that gift's eternal life. That's eternal life. If you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, that's not talking about speaking in tongues. That is eternal life. And all them other things can come with it. They're good. We want them. But it's eternal life's the main thing, isn't it? Christ from his birth. You know, even John the Baptist. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Isn't that amazing? The Bible says that John was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Romans 8 verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if so, that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So that's my argument when somebody says, the Spirit never moved on them or come on them. Well, then they're not the Lord's. There's your scripture. So when somebody is saved and somebody says they don't know anything about the Spirit at all, that's not accurate. They wouldn't be saved unless the Spirit moved them. And the night you get saved tonight, what made you to get saved? Someone moved you. That was the Holy Ghost that moved you. So you already had an experience with the Holy Spirit. You just need another one. But you're saved now. And there's the Bible. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. 1 John 2 verse 27, and the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. Now we often talk about calling him and calling him and calling him, and that's true. But the Lord says, I'll never leave you. I'm always with you. But if we're going on an emotional side of it, and I know the anointing could come in your flesh, and I believe in that. But yet the Lord never leaves you. No matter where you feel it or not, it's nothing to do with what you feel. It's got to do with what this book says. That's the difference. Your emotions will fail you. Mine will fail. Just like we heard this morning, we all could let down one another in different things. But the Lord won't fail you. He's promised he'll never leave you. And even when you think he has left, he hasn't. Just like I preached about God's love never changes. The devil wants you to think the Lord doesn't love you as much when you feel them. He loves you every bit the same because his love's unchanging. It's unchanging. It doesn't go up and down. Ours does, sure it does. We're working a lot in emotion. But the Lord's far beyond that. Now I know it'll produce emotion. But the emotion without the word's no use. We need both. We want emotion, but we want the word of God as well as emotion. Luther says, you need not that any man teach you, but as that same anointing teach of you all things in his truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And he said, if you abide in him and he abides in you, you can ask what you want, and you can have it. And I tell you, that's why Jesus said, no, before even call you, answer me. He was confident. We're walking with the Lord, and the Lord's walking with us. We can have confidence in the Lord that he hears us. And you think the devil will try and tell you the Lord doesn't hear you, and you've done this, you've done that. He'll lay you out a whole list. That's how he works. It's called the condemnation list. He's put a whole list why God will not hear you. But think of this. Turn this on him one time. When you weren't even saved, and I wasn't even saved, the Lord heard us when we called. And we weren't even saved. And yet with all us away from God, lost, undone, in the wicked blackness of sin, we prayed and God heard us. How much more can he hear you tonight? You're saved. Not only are you saved, but when the Epistle of John writes, he writes to my little children, that's believers. He said, we have an advocate with the Father through Jesus Christ the righteous. Thank God for that tonight. We have access. And we can come boldly into the throne of grace where we may find mercy to help in the time of need. And we need mercy and we need help, but it's available. Let me read you this, Israel at the church. And if a man's born in the Spirit of God, it's automatically lives the life. As I said the other night, drinking, smoking, gambling, cursing, and swearing, and all these things. It's attributes of sin. It's because you're a sinner, the reason those things come forth. But you're a believer. Those things can't come forth. Because bitter and sweet water can't come from the same fountain. A cuckleburr or corn of wheat couldn't bear cuckleburrs. Corn of wheat couldn't bear cuckleburrs because the nature of it's sweet. It's got to produce what it is, and the Holy Spirit on the inside of it produces the life of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! And that's why when we really have the Holy Spirit, there's a life living in us that's greater than our own life. Amen. Life living in us. And we do wrong, we're convicted. That's the Holy Spirit. And he wants, you know, you'll not have all this nonsense coming from somebody that's filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, Leonard Ravenhill, I said about him years ago, you know, Leonard, how many's heard of Leonard Ravenhill? Leonard Ravenhill was a great man of God now. But I want to read you this statement. I found it last week. Somebody had sent me a wee thing and it come on out and then I seen it somewhere else. So I thought about it, write it down. Oh, I'm just a saved sinner. How many times have you heard that? I'm just a saved sinner. Here's what Leonard Ravenhill said. That's like saying you're a married bachelor. Now, I know some boys maybe think they are bachelors, although they're married. That's like saying you're an honest thief or a pure harlot. You can't be a saved sinner. You're either saved or you're a sinner. Now, we sang the song, I'm only a sinner saved by grace. But you're no longer the sinner you were when you could see him. You're saved from sin, on to salvation. You're transformed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. You've no desire to go to the pub. I haven't had that. I've no interest in going down to the pub tonight. They've nothing in the pub I want. Now, it's different if I was going in there to give a track out. The witness. And I wouldn't advise to do that unless you really believe God sends you. I wouldn't advise to do that either. But God could send you. I know fellas that went in. Certainly. No big fella went in and you know them too and they were having a bit of a one of them karaoke nights. And the pub on town again, he went up and he took the microphone out in the middle of the do and he preached the gospel to them. And nobody stopped him either. But I believe the Lord led him to do it. And nobody stopped him because it was God. Now somebody else could try that move and it mightn't work. God led him to do that. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Romans 6, verse 1 to 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So once you're saved, if you were a fornicator, you don't fornicate no more. If you're living with a fellow or a girl in sin, fornication the Bible calls it, by the way. You need to get married. That's the cure for it. You say, what about cure? Get married. That's the cure. Get married. If you're getting drunk every night of the week and you're an alco, the cure for it's put it in the bin. Smash it to the wall. If you have any problems with it, I'll smash it for you to love it the first time. Get it broke up. If you're a wee peg, if you're doing a secret smoking. And a lot of people, you know, you'd be surprised. People came to William Branham. One man came, I just listened the other day, and he had cancer in his throat. And he says, you have a wee problem, haven't you? You have a secret. But God sees it. You have cigarettes in your pocket right now. God sees it. He could even tell him the mick of them. He says, now will you never smoke them again and give your life to the Lord? And he says, well, he says, you're healed. God healed him. See, like the woman at the well, the Lord knew what she was doing. He never condemned her, but he said, don't do it again. Don't forget that part. He didn't bless her in it. He says, don't do it again. And I tell you, we're no longer sinners like we were. We're saved by God's grace. Look at, you could read verse 2 to verse 16 here, but for time's sake, I won't read it all. But it's talking about the frankincense and the sweet savour unto the Lord. That's what frankincense is. And it speaks of satisfaction God finds in a spirit-possessed and spirit-anointed life. There's a satisfaction the Lord gets in us when we live for the Lord. When we yield ourselves to the Lord and yield to the Holy Spirit, there's a satisfaction God gets. And even the Bible speaks as a sweet smell and savour, even our worship. It's like the Old Testament type is the sweet smell and savour coming up before the Lord when we worship the Lord and praise the Lord. And the life of Jesus was lived in and through by the power of the Holy Ghost. And it was pleasing to the Father. Chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that wonderful? Returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Full of the Holy Ghost. Some people think the Holy Spirit never lead you into danger. Well, he led the Lord into the wilderness. You don't know where he lead you. I heard of a man recently, and he was martyred. A real man of God. Not so many years back, and he was martyred. But you want to hear how God used that man, and he was martyred. And you see, when he was martyred, thousands came to the Lord. That's such respect for that man of God. God used him. Now, another man mightn't get martyred because God could still do more with them when he's living. But the only God knows these things, why they happen. Look at them disciples. Some of them are crucified upside down. They didn't even think it was worthy to be crucified like the Lord. They were crucified upside down. And you know John, and I think our brother mentioned John this morning near the end of his message. John and the Isle of Patmos, they boiled him in oil. They tried to kill him. They boiled him in boiling hot oil. Can you imagine getting boiling hot oil? And John lived. Couldn't kill him. But God had a message for him. Not only a message for them, but now. And John said he received it, and he was in the Spirit in the Lord's day. 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? God's Spirit dwells in us. That's why we should always be fit to give reason for the hope that lieth in us. Now here in verse 14 also talks about the green ears of corn were dried with a fire and are beaten out, these green ears of corn, the bacon in the oven. And just for a moment, look at this. And I won't keep you long tonight. Verse 14. And the fire and the beating are most suggestive emblems of the suffering of him who was holy. The corn would beat in the oven. And the Lord went through all the fires. all the sufferings and all the agonies of the cross. And he suffered and packed it everywhere all along for me and you. He passed through the oven and fiery heat of the Garden of Gethsemane. The shepherd was sorely smitten. He was made a perfect meat offering through suffering. And ours were the pangs he bore. He didn't suffer for himself because we were a disappointment, you could say. He suffered for us. And we're not disappointed with him, sure we're not. Thank God for that this evening. Hebrews 2 verse 10 says this, for became him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. And the Lord suffered. We go through things. We know that. We heard that. But the Lord suffered more than any other man, so that we could be saved. You see, you know, when you ever hear a man preaching that's never experienced suffering, where it skips the spirit or anything, and then you hear a man that's experienced it, you know what I mean by that? You know, if you have a fellow that's been in jail and the Lord's really saved him, and he's witnessing to other people that's maybe in that same position, it has an effect because he knows what he's talking about. When the Lord's went through everything, and he knows exactly what he's saying. And when we read this word here, it's for everybody. That's the thing about it. The Lord's blood will match every type. Suffered and died. You read verse 11. In verse 11, here speaks of it. No meat offering which ye shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven, for ye shall burn no leaven or honey in any firing of the Lord made by fire. Leaven as a type of sin represents the secret workings of deceit and corruption. And there's people of secret workings of deceit and corruption. You see it all the time. The government's full of it. We'll never do this, and the next week they do it. Honey may be some symbolize the flattery of the applause of man. Do you ever hear the owl saying, you older people know now what I'm going to say here. Butter their lips. Butter their lips. Have you ever heard that saying? But it's a saying older people have. There's a fellow works in our work, and I know I'm saying this in the pulpit, maybe I shouldn't, but I nicknamed him Lip Balm. He's a soft lips. But you see, when the head man comes in, he tells him everything about you, what you're doing. That's why he's known as Lip Balm. He doesn't fool me for a minute. That's like the devil. He should be called Lip Balm. Now, I'm not writing if you're using Lip Balm, use away at it. It's not, that's not the point of it. But what I'm telling you is, the Bible says the devil's an accuser of the brother. He'll accuse you. Did you see what Gary done? Would I tell you? You see, when somebody comes to you to tell you, did you hear what Brother John done, or Brother Samuel, or such and such, you should put your hand up like that. Say, I don't want to hear nor word. Too often we hear things about people that see you, and we shouldn't hear it. That's the devil. The devil wants to accuse you, and he wants to accuse me. He's an accuser of the brethren. Is that the truth I'm preaching or not? And I tell you, that's the way he is. Honey lips. Sweet lips. You know, the Bible talks about the scroll, and when you eat it, it was sweet in the mouth, but bitter in the belly. And the Bible speaks of one that'll come up like a lamb, beautiful, but spoke like a dragon. That's the Antichrist. That's the way the Bible talks. Jesus Christ was unmoved by either of the other. There was no guile in his mouth. He could say, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the light. 1 Peter 2:22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He never spoke guile. Now often, and I'm telling you tonight, all of us, even as Christians, sometimes say things we regret. I do anyhow. I can only talk for myself. Maybe you've never done that. But I have. Even preaching. Sometimes someone will slip out and you say, I shouldn't have said it. That's the truth. But the Lord never had that to say. Do you realize when Jesus preached a sermon, he didn't have to delete anything. There's some sermons you'd have to have some deleting. All of us. There was nothing deleted with the Lord. And some people say, eat the chicken and leave the bones. Who's ever heard that? Certainly you have. There was no such thing as eating the chicken and leaving the bones of Jesus. You can eat the whole of it all the time. You can't split it. His words are spirit. His words are life. In him is eternal life. And his words are cleaner. Some people speak over you, it wouldn't clean you. But when Jesus speaks over you, it cleans you. It purifies you. There's power in his words. There's spirit and life. Verse 13, it was seasoned with this salt. And I'm closing shortly. Salt has a purgent effect. It's pungent. Everybody knows that. Years ago, and I don't never mind it, but my Uncle John here, my Auntie Eileen sure can remember. I hear Dad tell me about it. They used to salt when they did the pigs, the farm. They were covered in salt. Salt preserved them. Salt was a preservative. And the Bible says that we're to be salty. We are to be salty. And if the salt have lost the savour, wherewith will you salt with it? Do you ever eat chips and no salt? Waste of time. Don't care what the doctor tells you. Get the vinegar and the salt lashed onto them. They're great. Maybe I've won the night. Salt and vinegar for me all the time. And you see, margarine, forget about it. Give me the butter. The butter. The real fat. They've proved now it's better than margarine anyhow. Half of these are decoys. It's the same as somebody. They take a wee sprinkle of stuff with their tea and they won't take sugar. They might as well take the sugar. But that wee stuff you're putting in your tea is near worse than sugar. That's the truth. I know it's the truth. But you see, we're brainwashed by society. And then we wonder why the children swing their lights and stuff. We can't get them to do this and that. It's to half the stuff they're eating in them shops. Full of ease. Now, I don't know much about ease, but I'm telling you, it's in all these sweets and garbage. When we were wee lads, we got to the shop about once a week. You were lucky. You might have got 10 pence. You had to wrestle him to get it out of his hand. And then he'd say, it'll burn a hole in your pocket. You'll spend it all at once. And you run down to the first wee shop. See, nowadays, there's sweets every day of the week. Is that the truth? We're spoiled. But salt's a queer effect, hasn't it? Such is the effect of the truth as revealed Jesus upon those who come in contact with him. He had a preservative, not a preservative, even greater preservative would have a time when it stops. It's dated for a time, but this is not dated, this is eternal. Hallelujah. The everlasting covenant, there you are. And the unfailing faithfulness of Christ to the will of God, the Father doubtless taught by the salt, he abideth faithful. Salt in yourselves. Here's a statement. William Branham said, may this congregation be so seasoned and salted with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Until they be called the salt they are granted, Lord. Hear our prayers. So salted. You couldn't say that today, but a lot of movements. Preach the man, they don't preach Christ. They're not salted. Let's tell the truth about it. They don't operate in the Spirit no more. They don't want the gifts of the Spirit. But we want them. If we want them as salty, we need the gifts. We need everything God has available for us. Mark 9:50, salt is good, but if the salt is lost, the saltiness, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and peace one with another. You see, if you have the Holy Spirit, you'll be at peace, won't you? You know, if you're going to have to go up and maybe throw your arms around a brother or shake hands with him or whatever, and you've maybe done something, or he's done something. You're going to need the love of God to do it, aren't you? You need the Holy Spirit to do it. The devil will not lead you to do it. He can guarantee he'll not lead you to do it. He'll want more coal in the fire of condemnation, but the Lord wants you to be salty. Love one another. Amen. This is all offered unto the Lord. I'm going to have to close. My time's going. Let me just give you this from verse 2 and I'm closing. Flour, oil, frankincense, these three, body, spirit, soul, presented to the Lord, accepted by him. This is the approach offering. We need to give her all to the Lord because he gave us all for us. And he's our approach offering tonight. I'm closing. I won't read no more scriptures because I don't want to hold you too long. Praise God. Let's stand our feet tonight. Aren't you glad that the Lord gave us all for you? He loves you tonight. Young man, the Lord loves you. Young woman, the Lord loves you. Older man or woman, the Lord loves you too. Regardless of what mistakes you've made, the Lord still loves you. Look at him tonight. The one that had no guile. No guile. No guile was found in his mouth. Perfect Lamb of God. Well, every head's bowed, every eye closed. If you'd say, brother, pray for me tonight. Well, lift your hand again up to the Lord. God bless you, son. God bless you. Be sincere where you are. Just pray to the Lord. Close your eyes in reverence in the service tonight. And let's just pray. And then a brother's going to come and we're going to sing whatever the Lord lays in a brother's heart. And we'll be back here Wednesday night, the Lord willing. And we're going to be talking about prayer if the Lord leads us. I want us to keep us focused on prayer, and myself as well. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that you are the real salt. We bless you. Oh God, make us salty. Make us salty, Lord. Make us that we'll be salt to the brother or sister, to the man or woman that we meet, Lord, in our walk through the day and work or wherever we are. Make us salty with your power and your presence. Lord, make it effective. Lord, we want to be salty for you. Fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. Bless the hands that's raised in this house tonight. Lord, meet every need. I condemn every work of the devil in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, many of us tonight have loved ones. They're out. They're away. But Lord, we know that you can bring them. We pray you'll turn them. We pray you'll save them. And you'll deliver them. In Jesus' precious name. Bless your brother Gary. We thank you for him. Bless his wife. Bless his children. Bless his house. Give him the desires of his heart. Lord, bless, Lord, all the musicians, these young people this morning. Sure, Lord, it was lovely. We thank you for every one of them. We thank you for our sister in the organ. We thank you for the elders, for the deacons. Lord, for every man and woman in this house, we give you all the praise and glory. And most of all, we thank you, Lord, tonight, with all of our heart, for the lovely person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we were deep down in a horrible pit, and you lifted us up, and you set our feet on the King's highway. How we bless you tonight for the purging power of the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us and washes us from all sin and from all unrighteousness. Lord, add to your church such as should be saved in Jesus' name. Now bless each one. May the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and out of no sorrows go on every one tonight. And may you keep every one as the apple of your eye. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. God bless each one as a brother Gary comes this evening. God bless you.
Amen. Jesus was slain for me. Let us sing that hymn, praise God. You know, while the pastor was saying there about butter lips, you know, this morning I skipped over it, but in Psalms 55:21, you'll read about butter lips. If you want to read about butter lips, that's where it is. It's in the Bible. praise God. And he said about, you know, it's so true. But you might have to edit a bit out of your sermon around Matthew this afternoon to see if he added a bit out of mine. So, that's what happens, isn't it? But praise God, amen. It's so true. You know, every day Jesus done the will of his Father. We make mistakes and say things, and maybe we're afraid of offending some people. You know, it is true that the words of the Lord offend people, but if the words of Jesus Christ offend you, then actually you need to be offended. Some people need to be offended. If his words offend you, you need to be offended. But praise God for that this evening. Wonderful that in the Old Testament, all those types and shadows speak of Calvary, speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, that wonderful sacrifice. And this is a beautiful hymn. Jesus was slain. I mean, there Matthew has it up. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Let us sing that hymn then. Jesus was slain for me. What key, Alva? at Calvary. Crowned with thorns was he at Calvary. There he in anguish died. There from his open side poured forth the crimson tide at Calvary. And what a tide it was that it washed away all our sins. Praise God. Jesus was slain.
Thank you.